Trump's most important achievements have been appointing judges. So he had the Supreme Court appointment of Neil Gorsuch, which decisively tipped the balance back in favour of conservatism in the United States. This was one of the main reasons why conservatives actually came out to vote for Trump. It was because there was a vacancy in the Supreme Court that the Senate leader, Mitch McConnell, who's a Republican, had deliberately held open in order to raise the stakes of the election. The Supreme Court is incredibly important in American politics, and so having 5-4 conservative control is a major achievement for Trump. He's also appointed a lot of federal court judges. He's appointed more than 50 federal court judges. So he's really actually making the entire American judiciary a lot more conservative. This has been Trump's major achievement in office. There's really not a lot else to point to.
All right. So that's the achievements, a couple of the big ones there. What about the failures? What do you identify as the biggest failure?
What we see at the moment is it's been almost impossible for Trump to get any legislation through Congress. So, I mean, the president doesn't sit in the legislature. It's up to the legislators to negotiate with the president and to negotiate with each other. So far, all these things the Republicans dreamed of doing when they had control of both houses of Congress and the presidency, they haven't been able to do. They have not been able, for example, to repeal the Affordable Care Act, otherwise known as Obamacare, something they've wanted to do for 7 years. There have been 4 attempts to repeal this, and all of them have failed. We've also seen that in the international arena so far, North Korea has responded to Donald Trump by consistently amplifying the threats and ramping them up. Now, we're yet to see whether Trump's approach to North Korea, which is to essentially threaten retaliation, is actually going to work, but it hasn't worked so far. But we'll have to see how that plays out.
David, how has American politics changed in a year?
Well, it has become, if possible, even more divided than before. We see that Trump has record low approval ratings, but his approval ratings are still very, very high among Republicans and people who voted for him, which means if an election was held today, he could well win again. But on the other side, people hate him more than ever. He must be one of the most unpopular presidents that has ever been around from a Democratic point of view. So American politics is extremely divided. Americans are increasingly living in their own separate worlds. While in what conservatives call the mainstream media, for example, there's a lot of talk about the Trump campaign's connections to Russia, which is currently being investigated by the FBI. In the world of conservative media, none of that is really happening. Instead, it's just constant stuff about how successful Trump's presidency has been and how Hillary Clinton should be going to jail for selling uranium to Russians or something like that. So Americans are increasingly living in really separate worlds. Another very disturbing change that we've seen, though, has been a rise in white nationalism in response to Trump. And I would say this has been directly emboldened by Trump. Trump, who was one of the most openly racist candidates to actually run for president in the United States for a long time, a man who made basically no concessions at all to America's kind of civil rights sensibilities. And so a lot of white nationalists have really seen this as their time. And so this is why you see white nationalist marches through American cities. This is why you've seen controversies over the removal of Confederate statues. And Trump has really fanned the flames of this, saying that, there were fine people on both sides of a neo-Nazi rally, saying that the removal of Confederate statues is an attack on our history, and saying that African-American football players who kneel during the national anthem as a protest against police brutality should be pulled off the field. So Trump really seems to be taking a side very strongly in racial conflict in the United States, And this really emboldens white nationalists.
David, have you detected any hint of change in the way President Trump conducts himself over the year?
No, this has been the remarkable thing. He has not changed at all. He is basically exactly the same person who got elected to the office. He hasn't shown any kind of socialization into the role. He hasn't become more presidential in the way that he acts or talks. He still uses Twitter to communicate his thoughts in a completely unmediated way, which is unheard of for a president. I mean, the Soviet Union back in the Cold War would have killed to have this kind of access to exactly what the president of the United States is thinking at all times. As was the case during the campaign, he can still read a prepared speech that someone else has written and, you know, sound relatively statesmanlike. But this is a relatively rare event compared to the way that he usually communicates. He hasn't really learnt a huge amount on the job so far. Over the past year, he hasn't got any better at negotiating with the legislature. And this is why, despite having Republican control of every part of the government, he's still not able to get anything done legislatively. We've seen him cycle through an enormous number of staff, people either getting sacked or resigning. Once again, this was very, very similar to his campaign. Either he hired people who were, you know, really, really dodgy, or he hired people who he couldn't work with. So we're seeing this very high personnel turnover, which means it's quite hard for other people to actually guide him. Increasingly, there's military personnel in the White House, people like John F. Kelly, a former general who was the head of the Department of Homeland Security, who came over to become chief Donald Trump's chief of staff and to impose some discipline on the White House. But nothing really changed as a result of that. Trump hasn't become more disciplined, like Kelly has arguably become a lot less disciplined over time. So essentially, Trump doesn't change. I mean, he is in his early 70s. He's had a lifetime of succeeding essentially just by being himself. He's not really in the change game. He believes that voters voted for an authentic version of him, that he is not going to water down for anybody. And he has this sincere and probably quite misguided belief that he's the greatest businessman and the greatest negotiator and the smartest person ever to occupy the Oval Office. So he's not going to change.
David, as you highlighted earlier, his administration is still bogged in this Russia hacking scandal. Is that going to define the next 12 months?
It's hard to say. It is really hard to say. At the moment, we don't know whether what has already emerged is the tip of the iceberg or the whole iceberg. You know, how many people in Trump's campaign were actually involved with trying to get information out of Russia? Now, it's possible that what's already been turned up is it, basically, and the campaign will be able to say that, yeah, these were all people who, at least by the end of the campaign, weren't that closely related to it, although that's a stance that's getting harder and harder to maintain. Or we could find out that more and more people actually were involved with this, including possibly Trump's own son and his own son-in-law. I think that Trump gets very, very frustrated by how much attention this gets. And it is a pretty newsworthy story, so it deserves attention. But Trump gets very frustrated about that. He sees it as a distraction. It's probably not going to bring down Trump himself. A recurring pattern throughout Trump's life seems to be that everyone always takes the fall except for him. And it's very unlikely that he would have been directly involved in collusion with Russia. And this is something he keeps insisting on, that there's never been any evidence found of him personally colluding with Russia. I doubt that there will be, although it's always possible. But certainly, it could come to define the next 12 months in terms of just how much oxygen it takes up.
How has Trump's presidency affected Australia? Do you think it's changed the way politicians here behave?
I don't think that it has. I think that Trump's presidency has so far had relatively little effect on Australia. What we're seeing is a classic pattern in Australia whereby people's opinions about the United States and to some extent about our opinions about Australia's relationship with the United States are affected by our opinions of the president. And there's no doubt that Donald Trump is a very unpopular president. in Australia, which makes the relationship between Australia and the US, it makes people question, you know, how deep and how strong should this relationship be? Should we perhaps go our own way? But ultimately, I think that, you know, people believe Trump is a kind of an anomaly in the relationship, and the Australia-US relationship will probably just continue as it always has done. Certainly, diplomacy between Australia and the US basically continues as it always has done. Even when Donald Trump and Malcolm Turnbull have, for example, a very testy phone call, what we find is that things just continue on as normal. The refugee deal that we made with the United States continues on as normal. I don't think that it's particularly affected the way politicians behave. I think there are some politicians in Australia who look at Trump and think, you know, maybe there's some sort of hidden conservative majority we can tap into. Maybe what people really want is just an all-out assault on political correctness all the time. Tony Abbott seems to believe this. One Nation seems to believe this. Corey Bernardi seems to believe this. But I think that we're seeing that kind of politics in Australia is a lot more limited than it is in the United States.